Decker and Hayes, Season 3, Episode 4, All the Worse for Wear, by Elijah Joseph Weber. Parlor Town has many seedy parts, but none as dangerous as the South Tip. From wanton to refuse, any discharge of the lower extremities had found a home there. Tonight, murder decided to pay a visit.
Oh, God. Marla.
In the South Tip, life is cheap. It's to be expected, but this evening, someone had chosen to be a little bit more creative, leaving a dead whore's face painstakingly tacked to a mannequin's head, and then lovingly wrapping it in a box signed The Widow. Death had begun its rounds for the evening. As a former denizen of the South Tip, Stella was tougher than most women, even most men, but she was being faced with harrows that would try the hardest metals. From her newly acquired paralysis, to the implacability of this current case, and now this heinous attack of debauched slaughter. The stress was finally becoming too much. Slumping forward, she released her pent-up anxieties in a muffled sob. This was the only despair she would let the girls see.
What she sad about? Ain't like she cares about us?
With the quickness of a lioness homing in on her intended kill, Tasha leapt at the mouthy streetwalker and slapped her to the ground.
Don't you ever talk about Stella like that again. You stick up for that bitch? She don't even take care of us. None of this would have happened if Mama still been round.
The girls of Mama Wang's had been through a lot lately. From the problems of Smerdyakov's goons to the death of their former eponymous patron, fate had dealt them a cruel hand, but they had managed to hold it together. Now they were being confronted by something that even one so jaded as they would term as an obscenity, and it was causing them to crack. The only immediate remedy would be an injection of discipline, and Tasha just happened to be carrying the syringe.
God, Stella, are you going to...
That's enough, Tasha.
But...
I said that's enough!
Yes'm.
Call me Mama.
But...
Don't make me tell you again.
For a brief moment, outside reality was annihilated, and the whole of the universe comprised of Stella and Tasha, locked in visual combat. They shared an exchange that would only be cheapened by words, as if any could hope to convey the intensity of the moment being felt between them. Despite being crippled and confined to a wheelchair, and despite the harrowing events of late, Stella Decker was a woman made of steel and bone. Tasha, the would-be madam, was not. Whatever hopes the unrequited lover might have had were now obliterated. Clearly, the only relationship that existed between Stella and Tasha now was that of employee and boss.
Yes, Mama.
Stella, are you...
Let me handle this, Macy. All right, girls. This is how it's going to be. I know I haven't been there for you, and because of that, everything that has happened until now is on my shoulders. That's okay. I may not be able to walk, but I can still carry a heavy load. What you girls need is a mama. And like it or not, I'm her. I know I haven't been acting like it lately, but that's going to change. No one, but no one is going to be icing Mama Decker's.
Before Stella could finish what would no doubt be a heartwarming speech, a rude interruption occurred in the form of the outer doors being kicked in. In no time flat, the room was filled with gun barrels and blue.
It's a raid! That can't be. We're paid up until next month.
See, what I love about the law is that no matter whose palm you grease, it's still the law.
Like a much-anticipated serial villain, Detective Sergeant Wallace Clifford Bopko sauntered into the room. Of all the cops who could have been leading this charge, Bopko was most certainly the worst possible choice. Whoever had placed him here clearly had no compunctions regarding due process. Unfortunately, the irony of Bopko's declaration was only grasped by the lipstick detectives.
Bopko, since when do gorillas lead raids?
I don't know. Since when do dykes ask stupid questions? Oh yeah, that's right.
Clamp it, Bopko. We haven't done anything wrong, so Stella and I will be leaving if you don't mind.
Actually, bitch, I do mind. You probably don't know this, but this doohickey right here means that I'm a sergeant, and that means I am in charge here.
I guess they will give anyone who can shoot a gun rank in Parlor Town.
Look, bitch, I may not hate you as much as your roller derby buddy over there, but I can keep you two carpet munchers as long as I like, on grounds of suspicion.
Just because I'm in this chair, don't think I can't still kick your...
Detective, I think you should take a look at this.
Well, well, well. Oh, somebody pinch me. It must be my birthday. Man, oh man, I should have played lotto tonight.
Stuff it, Bobco!
No, bitch. You're gonna be the one who stuffs it. In Babylon. When we got this tip, best I thought I could get you dykes on was racketeering. But this almost makes up for that shiner you gave me, Wheels.
Bopko's hand instinctively went up to his left eye as his Neanderthal brain relived one of the more emasculating moments of his colorful career. Before the reverie could overtake him, he snapped back and cleared a path to the decorative remains of Marla.
What did I tell you? I get you. Even I'm surprised I got you both. Oh man, I can't tell you how much satisfaction this gives me. I've dreamed about saying this for a long time. Cuff him, Dano.
You can't do this. We know our rights.
Don't you get it, bitch? You ain't got no rights. Take him downtown, boys. Separately. I don't want no lover's trysts going on in my squad cars.
Hey, Grape Ape, you mind telling us what we're being charged with?
Wow, you ladies really are dumb. All that tuna must go straight to your brain. What do you think, Trackstar? Suspicion of murder. Get him out of here.
With that, Stella and Macy were escorted out of the former Mama Wang's to their awaiting rides, a matching set of black and whites. The ride downtown was too hurried to be memorable. Once at the station, the private eye Paramours managed to sneak a brief glance and a quick touch, but that was all. Macy was taken down to lockup, while Stella was taken someplace decidedly less scenic. The Pit, Parlor Town's most infamous interrogation room. This is where the real hard cases were taken. To date, no one had left the pit without signing a full confession. At least no one still living. The cop wheeled Stella in and positioned her on the far side of the interrogation table. Padlocked her wheels and then headed to the door to stand guard outside.
This bites. If only I could have made one well-placed kick. That's all I would have needed to really put a smile on Bobco's face! What the—
Without warning, the interrogation room had gone black and Stella could see no light filtering in under the closed door.
What's the matter? You guys forget to pay your electric or what?
As if in answer to her scornful question, the pit door opened, and someone walked in, closing the door behind them.
Trying to scare me, Bobco? Well, it ain't gonna work. I've left pieces of guys bigger than you in the commode.
Nobody likes a nosy ninny, especially when the ninny is a precocious pair of prying private eyes.
Get bent!
The voice carried on, seemingly oblivious to Stella's polite recommendation.
The mayor's mishaps are not your concern, Miss Decker. Don't let the tragedy of Marla happen to Macy. Quit the case, or else. The widow sends her regards.
With that, a pistol butt crashed down on Stella's head, sending her off into the land of dreams. But they were to be short-lived and unpleasant. Stella was roused back to consciousness by water splashing on her face. Her bleary eyes were greeted by the sight of Detective Sergeant Bopko towering over her with an empty glass in his hand.
What's the matter, legs? Can't walk no more, so that means you can't sit either?
I don't need anything extra to get you where it counts.
Stella buried her handcuffed fists in Bopko's crotch, causing him to double over. Any victory this may have won, however, was short-lived. Almost immediately, Bopko stood up and started laughing.
Same old Stella. See, I thought you might try a stunt like that. So I thought you'd get me a little protection. Put on my old baseball cup for my days in the police leagues.
The idea of you running bases is just too funny.
Yeah, laugh it up. See, I like a good joke. In fact, I even brought you a little present. Thought you might want to call someone. Due process and all.
The throwback brandished a rolled-up phone book that had been shoved in the back of his pants. Back when Bopko was a beat cop, he earned the nickname of Mr. Delicate, for his ability to work a suspect over and not leave a single mark. Now the detective squad was putting those skills to good use. He sat Stella back up in her chair and beat her across the face with the phone book. Then he hit her in the chest with it, and then the arm.
You forget how to ask questions?
This ain't no interrogation, bitch! I'm gonna have some fun with you. Then, like a good little girl, you're gonna sign this confession.
Bopko unzipped his pants.
See? We're gonna have some fun.
Bopko, I have to thank you. This is the first time I've been glad to be paralyzed. Not that I would feel anything anyways.
Oh, you are gonna feel something. I guarantee it.
That's enough, detective.
Unbeknownst to either Bopko or Stella, Captain of Detectives Henry Stearns had entered the room. Unfortunately, Stearns had a reputation worse than Bopko's. The only way a cop can pick up rank in Parlor Town is to be hard, mean, and dirty.
What's going on, Captain? I'm trying to interrogate this suspect.
No doubt doing a fine job of it, too. But the two private sluts are to be released immediately. Commissioner Nichols orders. Apparently, they're doing some favor for the mayor. Now, clean her up and get her topside.
What? Captain?
Detective, shut up and get that filth out of here.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget your fly, Bobco. I'd hate it to get cold and become even smaller.
The stupid...
Stella Decker was brought to the top floor of the station in a decidedly different manner than the one that took her to the basement. As the elevator door opened, a familiar face greeted her.
Stella!
Stella wheeled out of the elevator and right into Macy's arms. She pulled Macy down into a passionate kiss that could have lasted a lifetime, if it didn't attract the jeers of Parlor Town's finest.
What was that for?
Can I just be happy to see you, girl?
If it means that, then yes.
You ladies, gonna treat us to a triple X show all day? You're gonna get your stuff and answer the phone call that's been waiting on you.
We're on it, lame brain. Baby, can you...
Sure thing, honey. You see who's calling us.
Thanks, baby.
Stella wheeled over and grabbed the phone the surly cop had indicated.
This is Stella Decker.
Miss Decker, I'm so glad to hear your voice. I hope you and Miss Hayes weren't treated too harshly. I really must apologize for this misunderstanding.
Mr. Mayor, I hope you don't mind me asking this, but how did you know we had been picked up?
I hope you can forgive me, but I've done something slightly dishonest. After I received the second package from our friend, I was fearful that Miss Hayes and you might be in danger, so I have been having my security people keep an eye on you. In fact, they have a car waiting for you both outside right now. It will take you both wherever you want.
Mr. Mayor, not that we don't appreciate what you've done for us tonight, but don't pull a stunt like this again. If Macy and I are going to take care of your problem, we can't have you keeping secrets from us.
I fully understand that, and it is due to this understanding that I am being so forthright with you right now. I swear to you that I have not kept anything else from you. I only did this because I fear for Miss Hayes and you.
No disrespect, but it's a bit late. Can we talk about this tomorrow?
Of course. I have an opening at 3:00. Would it be a problem if we met at your office due to the compromised nature of mine?
Sounds like a date, sir. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:00. Good night, Mr. Mayor.
Good night, Miss Decker.
While Stella was talking to Mayor Glass, Macy had retrieved the duo's personal possessions and returned to the side of her lover. She filled Macy in on what Glass had told her, and Mace handed her back her .357 Magnum and shoulder holster. Macy pushed Stella to the double doors past Sergeant Bobco, who decided he would get a parting shot.
I'm watching you two. We ain't through yet, so don't go leaving town, racing stripes.
Bobco, you bother her again and I will personally change your gender. Let's go, honey.
Macy wheeled her partner past the slack-jawed detective and through the double doors. Outside, a black car was waiting with the engine running. Behind it was standing the security officer that accompanied Mayor Glass earlier.
Ah, Miss Decker. Good to see you, and you must be Miss Hayes. A pleasure. Mayor Glass has instructed me to accompany you two wherever you wish to go. Right this way, ladies.
For a second, time seemed to slow down, as Macy's CIA training tipped her off to what was happening. An ambush. Out of the darkness, a masked figure clad in black and wielding a machete leapt at the two women. What happened next was pure instinct. Macy shoved Stella forward out of the way and went for her gun. She was too slow. Stella's wheelchair hit the side of the car, knocking her forward, but not out of it. She spun around in time to see Macy go down, and the attacker's machete dripping with blood. Stella pulled out the .357 Magnum as the masked figure turned to face her. Cocking the gun, she unloaded all 6 rounds straight into the attacker's chest. The doors to the station exploded as Bobco and a number of uniformed cops stampeded through.
What the hell is going on out here?
Some creep attacked us, and I... Oh, God, I think he got Macy.
It's okay, honey. He just got me in the arm. I don't think he was trying to kill me. I think he was just trying to take me out.
I don't care. Nobody messes with my girl and lives.
I don't believe this. It's a dame. One of your exes coming to pay a call? Hi, chair.
Ignoring the rude comments, the two moved in to see what woman would dare to do them in. When a shocking discovery was made.
That's Janet Steyer. They had a picture in her file.
The only suspected identity of the widow is gunned down. What does this mean? Was the mayor being honest in his reason for having Decker and Hayes followed? Tune in to the next exciting episode of Decker and Hayes. Torture never stops.